This episode of iRescue Radio is brought to you by ProCPR.org. Online CPR training, when you want it, where you want it.
And welcome to iRescue Radio. I'm Roy.
I'm Jody.
I'm Dan.
So I'm walking into Wendy's yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh. With my whole family.
Yeah, Wendy's.
We'd gone to the museum. Yep. Had a great time. Saw the dinosaur exhibit.
Oh, I'm thinking the butterfly.
They're doing that today.
Mm-hmm.
This is the second time this has happened to me in the last 5 years.
Okay.
Maybe you can help me. And these three moderate-looking tradesmen, probably 10 years younger than I am, came out of the Wendy's and are walking towards my family and I. And I've got Michael over my shoulder and I've got, you know, our five daughters. And we're walking in. My wife, lovely wife's there. And one of the guys stares me down.
Stares you down?
You know, like high school. You know, like when somebody wanted to fight you?
Like bring it on?
Yeah, like...
Okay.
Like you wanted to get a little elementary yourself and say, you got an eye problem?
Right.
It wasn't like, stare, I know you, stare. Or, hey, you look like... No, it was the...
Really?
You think you're something, man? You think you're something?
And what was this?
He's
all
staring
about?
Me down. I don't know. We just got out of the van and loaded my six children out
you didn't
of a
have
Sprinter
like a
van.
Cut off like... T-shirt.
No,
sleeveless.
No,
showing
I
your guns.
No, what? I was in my normal dress shirt and pants.
Well, that mohawk that you got there is kind of a little bit.
No, maybe it's the tattoo that
could be.
I'll eat you for lunch.
That's probably what I got. What it is. It's that bumper sticker on your car.
I don't have a bumper sticker. I don't have my Pro CPR stickers either.
That is weird.
Now that's the second time.
Now, so what did was you do? I mean, anything
I
said?
I said hi, because I made eye contact with him.
Uh-huh.
And the more he stared at me, the more I was like, is there something wrong?
Awkward.
Very awkward. Kind of that Morpheus moment that kind of goes click.
Yeah.
Click, right? And you begin to get those same feelings of, am I to defend myself?
So you're going in, he's coming out.
Right. And we crisscrossed. Him going to his truck with two other workers, and I with my six children and my wife.
Weird.
And he gave me that stare like, you think you're bad? Come on. And so I did
really
what
bizarre.
Any 40-year-old should do. And I said, hi, how you doing? And stayed staring at him.
Uh-huh.
He grunts at me.
Grunts.
And then the other two guys start laughing.
Huh.
Now, is that bizarre?
That's really unusual.
Yeah, it doesn't make
maybe,
any sense.
No. Maybe he did know you and he just didn't remember.
Well, that's what I thought. But the more, I don't know him.
Yeah.
I know faces. I don't know names very well.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I know
no,
faces.
You know the situation.
Now,
that's weird.
Here's the
weird.
First one. Again, I am walking into Custard by the dam in Rockford.
Yeah. Okay.
It's a nice, you know what? I think it was spring again.
The T levels.
I've got something here. Okay. I've got something here.
T-level.
Okay. I've got a theory. But again, it was a warm, late spring, early summer day. Six kids, my wife, were enjoying a nice day. There's a man sitting at a bench, probably about my same age, maybe a little younger, gives me the stare down. My wife recognized it. So it's not just me. She said, what was that guy's deal? And said, I don't know.
Weird. I've never...
It's the second guy that wanted to just, like, throw down.
What is going on with you, Roy? It's got to be
pheromones. So you think it's a spring thing?
I think it's almost animalistic. It's almost like, here I am, a lion with my pride.
That has dug themselves out of their cave of hibernation.
And here's these young buck lions that are like, yeah, well, you think six kids are bad, huh? I'll show you six kids, man.
I got six I don't own.
It's just bizarre.
It is bizarre.
I had to tell you guys about it.
That is really
have you
awkward.
Well,
it ruins the day.
Have you had anything like that?
You know,
come on.
Not that distinctive, but I, oh, yeah. I mean, I can't remember
a lot
of
basketball games.
Yeah.
Well, I usually start those.
You are the guy that's
okay. On the way to an event,
yeah,
I was doing 29 in a 25-mile-an-hour zone.
Cruising right along.
A Beamer,
yeah,
which I desperately want.
Sure.
So I was jealous to begin with.
Right.
Was riding my Heine.
Uh-huh. Oh, hate that.
This is road rager. Road rager.
And as I'm preparing myself, mm-hmm. it's Holy Week.
Right.
So we have a lot going on at church. And I'm trying not to just have game on during religious times.
Trying not to have to make it back to confession again before the weekend.
I really thought about jamming on the brakes.
Yeah.
It crossed my mind for at least a good mile and a half.
Your ears got hot.
And I am given the stare down in the rearview mirror.
You're giving him the stare down.
Her.
Oh, no.
Well, that's when I got tougher. I'm thinking of it does come to a throwdown. I want to know. My luck, she'd be a black belt.
Jiu-jitsu or something. Yeah. Or her 400-pound, 7-foot husband.
My wife.
Yeah. Leaning back.
Get her off me.
Oh, snap it.
But I didn't.
I understand. I can relate.
But how do they not know,
I don't know
they're a foot and a half off your bumper? And I'm doing the maximum speed through a zone that has pedestrians and everything else. Not that I've never broken the law before doing that.
Right.
I don't know. You guys and your
okay,
extra,
Jody,
extra
you're
rage.
Up. You're up.
I don't have those kind of experiences.
Somebody has surely confronted you.
Well, usually it's me.
No, seriously, people are too scared and they just put their head down in shame and walk away. And I don't mean, I'm serious. I seriously don't have those experiences. I don't know if it's just because people think I'm a freak or what it is, but I've never had anybody do that to me. I don't know why.
I was a little intimidated when you walked in with your big motorcycle gear on.
Well, and I've got my
black chaps.
Get my leather jacket and, you know.
The pistol on your side didn't help.
That little spike on the top of my helmet. And everything.
Yeah. Anyways, if anybody else has ever been postured against,
mm-hmm.
I want to know.
Yeah.
Because right now, I don't know what the deal is and neither does my wife.
And what did you do?
Yeah, what did you do?
What did I do? I was carrying Michael.
No, what would they do?
Yeah, well, yeah. And how do they handle it?
How do they handle it?
I just say hi. I said hello to both of them.
Hmm.
As if to assume you're really not.
Were they 20-somethings or what?
The guy at the custard place, probably early 30s, late 20s. This guy, probably the same.
Hmm. Weird.
Anyway, so this lady
in
the United Kingdom,
mm-hmm.
our friends over there across the Big Lake. Did you read this article? This 87-year-old Cornish woman was rescued by police 5 miles from her home when her mobility scooter sped off out of control. Now, the story only thickens, you guys. You got to picture this. That this sweet, wonderful 87-year-old lady riding her scooter is with her husband on their way to St. Michael's Church. And Mr. Bishop said, "The incident began when he and his wife set off for St. Michael's Church. He said the scooter, which hadn't been going that well, was set to 3/4 speed. Suddenly, she passed me at full tilt," Mr. Bishop said. "I shouted after her, but she's a bit deaf. I couldn't chase her as I've had a triple heart bypass. She just disappeared off the radar."
5 miles. That's a long way. I didn't know they had the battery power to go 5 miles.
It gets better.
Oh, boy.
Mr. Bishop said he and a neighbor searched for his wife and then went to the police station to report her missing. "I was just about in tears," he said. "Officers found Mrs. Bishop after a motorist reported a mobility scooter swerving across the road near Pendown Cross, 5 miles away. Mrs. Bishop said she was not sure how she got separated from her husband."
Oh, boy.
"I just lost him. I was half asleep, to tell you the truth," she explained. "It took PCSO Michael Ginnelly an hour to drive the scooter back to Perrinport.
Oh, my. Oh, that's, poor lady.
At what point do you say,
I'm going to do that?
It sounded like she wasn't aware that there was an issue.
I think she was asleep at the wheel.
Yeah.
Off on her joyride.
She probably slid forward, hit it to full throttle.
Zoom.
Hit the afterburners, and that lady was mobile.
I can just see her husband going, Eileen!
I say, Eileen,
come back! Yell.
Was it something I say?
I take it back. Dinner was fine.
That's right.
You can have tea and crumpets if you want to.
Thankfully, she's okay.
Thankfully, sure. Yes. Oh, absolutely. You know, yeah. This was found on the BBC Nutty News, so
we can laugh because she's fine.
iRescue Radio's top medical news.
For this week's top medical news,
mm-hmm.
What an interesting story about how technology, again, is helping to assist disease processes.
Yeah.
Dan, I think you brought this one up.
Yeah, I was coming into work, listening to the radio, trying to identify some topics we could discuss. And this one, I seem to be the person that speaks about autism, and I haven't identified why. But So I just perk up every time I hear it. But there is a new website, database called IAN, Interactive Autism Network. It's a mm-hmm. research-oriented website created 2 years ago by the Kennedy Krieger Institute, a top-flight research center in Baltimore, and it partnered with Autism Speaks, a major nonprofit advocacy group. Essentially, it's a database where families can register themselves, is it Asperger's autism?
I'm no expert in autism and all of the different diagnoses therein. Mm-hmm. So we probably should just keep it to the basic autism.
But essentially, they've got 10,000 families registered. What it's allowing for is research.
Yeah.
Oftentimes finding sufferers of autism to be able to perform research to know what causes it.
Yeah, the article was saying that scientists have been having a hard time finding enough people with autism who really want to participate in their studies. Mm-hmm. And those delays that were a relationship to not being able to find enough people for the study would set projects back for months or even years.
Sure.
But now because the actual fact that they can have people sign up online, they're getting many, many more people.
Sure.
Like about 10,000 families
huge study base to pull from. And essentially, they can be emailed with the researcher's request.
Right.
There was research done in Chicago recently where they needed 250 participants or so to really make it a solid study. And there's travel involved. You got to be in that region.
Yeah.
This allows researchers to access IAN to be able to email registered participants.
You bet.
Right. To pull a quick study together.
One thing I thought was very interesting in the article, too, was the idea that right now, as they're using IAN, it showed that more than half the mothers were diagnosed with depression before the child had autism.
Yeah.
Diagnosed with depression before they had the child that had autism.
Correct.
And this is a new finding. Because of that database, they were able to link that and suggest that there may be some kind of a gene issue going on there
when it
comes to depression and linking it to autism. So it's pretty exciting. I think it's a neat, a great way to use technology because before that, you didn't have that connection.
Yeah, I guess it'd be fair to say that when they go out to IAN, a family who wants to register just simply fills out an extensive questionnaire. I shouldn't say simply. It's kind of like an oxymoron.
Yeah.
It fills out an extensive questionnaire, and then that goes into the database, and then families can choose to participate in specific studies, either online or in person. Now, here's the rub. It's a database that relies on self-reported information, right?
Yeah.
And so scientists are saying it's less reliable than actual scientific observations and tests. There's the downside of this.
Right.
But that's a trade-off that a lot of scientists are saying they're willing to take because of the fact that they now have a database of people that they can tap into and a much quicker way for a researcher to find people for a study.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's interesting anyhow, how accurate are doctors' questionnaires in person anyway? Because you've got a person talking to a human being who wants to hide things, who doesn't want to reveal certain personal matters.
There's pressure on them. There's pressure on somebody they don't know. And revealing.
Behind the lines, I think people are more willing to reveal more when they're not talking to the individual, when they're more anonymous. So it could actually give you better information too.
You're right. Right. It doesn't always mean that it's negative. It could be that it's better. Exactly.
Yeah. Well, it gets back to the person's comfort. Mm-hmm. Of where they're more comfortable, and we educate that way. Mm-hmm. It shouldn't be based on the researcher or the instructor in the case of our situation,
right?
But it's done at the student's best ability and best environment,
right?
To either answer a questionnaire or to learn.
Yeah, and I think they're going to get people that normally would not go outside their comfort zone, as Jody was just saying.
Right.
B might not be able to because it's too time intensive or travel intensive.
Yeah.
Right. Or schedule intensive.
Yeah.
And C, it's going to be consistent. Mm-hmm. Same questions every time.
Yes. To the entire pool.
To the entire pool.
Yeah. Right. So if there's really skewed information there, I would think they'd pick up on it.
But, yeah. And they probably can alter their questionnaire.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And
no question about it.
It's one central depository.
Right.
So they have control versus trying to disseminate that upon many, many different test sites and things. So interesting. So we're going to have a poll question based on that and see what people think. But, you know, it's another sign that technology is opening doors in areas that we just wouldn't have thought of years ago.
Yep. Pretty wild.
Yeah. Good stuff.
Ready or not, it's time for this week's Hot Topic.
This hot topic is just about as funny as the person whose scooter took off on her.
I think it's more funny because I can identify.
Man hit with felony charge after in-flight bathroom emergency.
Must have really smelled bad.
I've smelled bathrooms that probably should have been a crime scene.
At least a misdemeanor.
Why are you looking at me?
I'm not looking at you. I succinctly looked straight forward. I'm not looking at anybody. My wife said, don't look at anybody's eyes anymore. It got me in trouble at the ice cream place. It got me in trouble at Wendy's.
See? Bathrooms, it's going to get in trouble here too.
Yeah, I'm not saying. I'm just saying bathrooms. I could have been charged with a felonial assault in a Myers bathroom once.
Wow. Come on, Roy. Tell the bathroom story.
No. We have some degree of decorum here that needs to be maintained.
We'll leave that to everyone's mind.
Ooh, that's a dangerous place.
You want me to talk about it? Ask for it.
There you go.
So
get on our blog.
Yeah. It's a treat. Mm. Anyway, this is nutso. Well, and at the same time, I don't know. This guy may have been a little out of line.
Hmm. Well, no, we got to set the scene.
Yeah.
Set the scene. Every one of our listeners, I would suspect, has been on a flight when the beverage cart is in use.
Uh-huh.
So
takes up the whole aisleway.
Whole aisle. There is no going past.
No.
That person. So whatever you might need has to be put on hold.
Mm-hmm. That's probably dependent upon the airplane.
Okay.
Size.
Sure.
The size of the cart and whether you stewardess.
And whether you can leap over chairs.
Yeah. Well, or a stewardess or steward who's being courteous.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Right? So there's a few little innuendos here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
But in this case, it sounds like it might have been an economy flight.
Yeah, and we're not hearing all the details.
No, so it's not in this story.
We're reading a little bit into this, but go ahead and tell the people what we're talking about.
So this guy is coming back from Honduras where he ate some bad food.
Not good.
Had to go to the bathroom, I would believe, horribly, for this to have happened. Says he had a bathroom emergency 30 minutes into a flight from Honduras to Atlanta, but found the single coach aisle. Well, there you go. The single coach aisle on the Boeing 737 blocked by a beverage cart.
Is it going 37?
Boeing. He said he asked if he could use the lavatory in business class, but was told no. See, the plot thickens.
So there's two restrooms, front and back.
Yeah. Yeah. Economy,
mm-hmm.
where Dan would sit.
Yeah.
And the...
That's harsh.
That is. Who said it? I didn't say it.
What?
And the business class.
Yes.
And nor shall the two pass.
No.
So the guy gets stopped by the stewardess.
Yeah.
No, you cannot use the business class restroom.
Right. Okay, but what was the reason that he wanted to use business class?
Because, I don't know.
Because he had the business.
He had to do the business.
Well, he couldn't get past her.
Right.
To go back to the no class.
Right.
So
there was
bathroom.
There was a
cart
in the way.
So he wanted to go to the business class bathroom.
The only
she was in the way.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Was she in the way of the business class bathroom?
No.
Or was she in the way of the
no class.
He said if he asked if he could use the bathroom in business class. Okay?
Yeah.
And he was told no. Okay? The Transportation Security Administration policy requires passengers of international flights to use the restroom in their seating class.
Mm-hmm.
Smarty pants. When the cart wasn't moved after a few minutes...
Something was moved.
Just a few sound effects to find out what it must have been like. The man said he ran for the business class lavatory. Made a break for it.
Okay, so here is a story. The cart was not in the way of the business class, and it definitely was in the way
right.
of
his class.
Of the coach.
Cheap.
Coach.
Whatever. He said the flight attendant put up her arm to block him.
Wow. Football player.
No, he didn't hit her.
I think it was a lady that was following me real close.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So the man grabbed her right arm, pulled it down, and twisted it.
And said, get now, out of my way.
We I'm were going. Imagining snake bite moves.
Jeez.
Ouch. Oh, stop it. Mom. But it sounds like he twisted it.
Mm.
Yeah.
Now, we haven't heard from the stewardess other than the charges. His indication at the end, look, I'm from Ohio. I've never been in trouble with the law before.
Right.
People, I can so picture this situation.
He was in major pain. I'll tell you that right now.
He was going to fill his pants.
Yeah, it was
more
not
going to
be good.
Yeah. I can just tell you, bad food experiences are not good on the gut.
If he had food poisoning, he was ill. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, this isn't a matter of, oops, I forgot to go before I left.
No.
You're inconvenienced me.
Yeah. Now, this is a perfect situation where intelligence does not match up with wisdom.
She has got to read his eyes.
Yeah.
You just got to be.
Body language has got to be telling her, move it or twist it.
I mean, I don't know what to say about the Transportation Security Administration policy,
mm-hmm.
okay, and why you're not supposed to go from one class to the other to use a restroom when you're all on the same aircraft.
Yeah.
Probably bad legislation, maybe? I mean, where's the common sense? When you got to go and you're 30,000 feet up, you got to go.
Options have been narrowed.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe if you've got a concern about people shifting between a curtain, they shouldn't have got on the plane in the first place.
Yeah,
I agree.
It's so silly because the situation wasn't that the guy was just, I want to go to the business class because I know it's better.
Yeah, it wasn't. Yeah, it's not. Yeah, it's
going to be article, cleaner.
Yeah, yeah, the article does not make it sound as though he was being obstinate to be obstinate.
Oh, he was waiting until
he was in pain.
Yeah,
he
couldn't do it.
It was going to get ugly,
to say the least.
Well, yeah.
Now, why he literally grabbed her arm?
Well, if she blocked his way.
Well, yeah.
Oh, yeah, right. Because she stuck her arm out.
She stuck her arm out.
He was running at this point in pain.
Right.
In pain.
Yeah.
You know, and here's the deal. He's facing a felony charge.
Yeah. Well,
the guy says...
He spent 2 days in jail.
2 days in jail.
When he landed.
Yeah. Got escorted right off the plane.
Got to see the sights of Atlanta.
Arrested after the plane landed in Atlanta after a 3-hour flight. It was only supposed to be 2 hours, but it took an extra hour because they had to wait till he got done.
You know what? And I...
No, sorry. Article doesn't say that.
A little bit of creative licensure there. The poor guy went to jail.
Mm.
He was charged with interference with a flight crew. Now, I understand.
Yeah.
Since 9/11, things have gotten a little bit hysterical when it comes to people doing wild things on a plane.
Mm-hmm.
And I can only imagine that he was going, I can't believe this is happening.
Uh-huh.
Right? I can't believe this is happening. And now she's blocking me. And I'm going to let loose.
That's exactly what I was thinking. Yeah.
And I'm in mid-flight.
Yes.
Where's my change of clothes?
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
We've identified the new emergency.
Yeah, right, exactly.
You know, this isn't an emergency. And it's not like he charged into the captain's
area to use
his private little...
Yeah. The poor guy says, I'm devastated.
It's embarrassing.
I've never had any event with the police in my life. Yeah. He says
he's got a felony on his record.
Yeah, now he's felony. He's being charged with a felony.
Yeah.
Oh, a message was left on his home telephone.
Mm-hmm. You know, this is a perfect example though of our society just going just completely stupid in my mind. It's so ridiculous. It smacks of the same kind of things where a kindergartner is expelled from school because he kissed a girl. Well, you know, come on. It's that kind of ridiculous stupidity that our society is going for more and more and more. And it makes me sick when I see that. People that have no brains, that can't use common sense to realize when a situation requires common sense.
When legislation goes bad.
There you go. You got it. Yep. You got it.
Well, poor guy. Hopefully, things will work out okay for him.
Now it's time for the ProCPR.org Puzzler. What the heck would you do? ProCPR.org. Online training when you want it, where you want it.
Now for the stumper.
Hmm.
We had an interesting thing happen in our office. A student called in and literally had to use their skills in basic life support. And this has spawned us to think about CPR in general. Yeah. So we'd like to talk about a specific adult cardiac arrest scenario. See if we can stump the EMT. I don't think it's going to happen. Here we go. Adult is waiting in line at a grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
Suddenly collapses to the floor, unconscious.
Mm-hmm.
One person knows how to do CPR, activates EMS. Several people are standing around that also know CPR, but they're not initiating.
Yep.
So the first person says, I'll start.
Mm-hmm.
Now, regardless of whether they have personal protective equipment is not the point of the story, so we're not going to really dwell on that. But hopefully they had personal protective equipment for a one-way valve mask. And they attempt to put air in after doing a head tilt chin lift, but it was difficult to do the head tilt chin lift in that this adult was overweight and a larger male.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't know what the history is on their cervical spine either. Maybe they had a fusion. You never know. Mm-hmm. Well, air was going into the stomach instead of into the lungs. And this was indicated by the fact that every time they gave a rescue breath, the stomach would rise and not fall.
Okay.
It did not interrupt chest compressions. So they did the 30 compressions and 2 rescue breaths over and over and over. And bystanders see that the actual skin color in the face went from purplish blue back to pink.
Mm-hmm.
And another bystander who knew how to check for carotid pulses was feeling for a carotid pulse while compressions were being done and felt pulses on each compression.
Mm-hmm.
So good, effective CPR.
Yep.
But no matter what, they could not get the air to go into the lungs. It always went in the stomach.
Mm-hmm.
What the heck would you do?
Dan? Dan's going to answer this one first.
Dan. Mm. Dan. Dan.
What I've learned is that you continue until EMS arrives.
Okay.
And takes over.
Mm-hmm.
So regardless of the outcome of what's actually happening. Now, I hadn't thought about this till we heard from this person.
Right.
And we've talked about that a mannequin practice is a poor substitute for reality.
Yes.
And I've never been in that situation.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully
and,
never will.
And pray I never will. But pray that I'll respond.
Yep.
When that moment occurs.
Sure.
It struck me that I had never thought about it looking different than what it did when I performed it on a mannequin.
Yeah. Right.
You know, and this is post because I've heard the story.
Sure.
But in this case, you've got to continue forward. You've got to continue to do what you do, because there's situation is this man's dying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I guess you try to reposition head, the head and chin, do a head tilt chin lift. Try to, see if that assists with it going into the lungs mm-hmm. and getting more chest rise and fall.
Yep.
But long and short of it is don't quit.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Dan, that's a very good observation. Coming at it from the medical standpoint, obviously we want to get air into that person. We don't want it into the stomach, because the more air in the stomach, the more chance of aspiration. In other words, that guy is going to vomit eventually, and it's not going to be good. And we're going to have to clear out that airway so that we can get air into the lungs so we can get oxygenated. Basically, for the lay rescuer, or for anyone, any matter of fact, the best way to do that is simply get that airway open farther. You've got to open the airway up farther. On an adult male who's overweight, who has a lot of fatty tissue around the neck, that's going to be sometimes difficult. And you may require, and obviously we don't teach this as part of the standards. Mm-hmm. We teach a head tilt chin lift as part of the standards, but it may require you to put a hand in the back of that neck to lift up to be able to get that neck to go back as far as you can to get that airway to open up. Because that's the only way that that airway is going to open and avoid getting air directly into that stomach, is by opening the airway as best you can.
I've had other medical professionals, every time we say that, Jody, they say,
yep.
You never put your hand behind the neck of the patient. You got to think about neck injuries. We're not talking about a neck injury, number one. We're talking about a person who collapsed. Mm-hmm. This is not a traumatic car accident. There aren't any signs of obvious spinal cord injury. And quite frankly, it used to be that they taught put counter pressure on the back of the neck to get the head fully back.
Yeah, that was the standard. Yep.
But we're talking about a person's head that will not go back easily. And if you need to do some counter pressure, another trick too that we had talked about is that in certain situations, and now in this scenario that we gave, it'd be a little bit hard, but let's say it's in a home or in a bedroom, you could grab pillows potentially, although we don't really want something too squishy underneath the shoulder blades of the cardiac resuscitation recipient, something to get underneath solid, underneath the shoulder blades of the patient. Mm-hmm. And then lay them back again so that it helps their head fall kind of in a back position. Yeah. But again, we would not want to have anything that would absorb the compression and make our compressions less effective.
You know, one point too, I was just thinking of as we're talking about this, in a situation where if you were giving CPR to someone and you noticed air was going in the stomach and you tried to open the airway and it just wasn't working for you, you know, constant compressions is the best thing for you at that point. You know, it's better to not continue trying to do something that's not going to be effective for you as a lay rescuer, and to just simply do compressions until the ambulance gets there. That's going to be the best outcome at that point for you as a rescuer.
Yep. In 2008, a physician submitted an article and some research. This was done on pediatrics, but it applies to most people, that we have between 4 and 6 minutes of residual oxygenation in our bodies, oxygen molecules that can be circulated to vital organs, without any artificial rescue breaths. So constant and fast compressions
in deep,
that are deep. 1/3 of the chest for pediatrics, and we're talking about 1/3 to 1/2. And then for adults, we're talking about 1.5 to 2 inches compressions. It's very difficult to do depending on the size of the patient, but deep, fast, and constant.
Yep.
And we're going to be circulating that residual oxygen. And like Jody said, doing probably more good than worrying about putting air in. Mm-hmm. And since that article came out in 2008, the American Heart released it as hands-only CPR.
Mm-hmm. For lay rescuer.
For the lay rescuer, for any rescuer for that matter, mm-hmm. as long as it's outside the hospital setting, okay? Outside the hospital mm-hmm. setting, able to be done after EMS is called.
It's a little different for EMS providers because they've got some tools, some special things they can do, suction units. There's a lot of different tools and more knowledge that EMS providers are going to have. But for anyone that's done CPR and you've run into that situation, you know what? Those compressions, obviously in the situation we just talked about, the man was pinking up. They were doing what
right.
They were doing the best they could possibly do for that person.
So you're saying a portion was going into the lungs, but some was going into the stomach.
No, not necessarily. Mm-hmm. I think that their compressions were highly effective. That's why they felt the carotid pulses.
So you think most of the air was going into the stomach?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Okay. And one little correction. The reason I said for anybody is because I'm a paramedic and I'm off duty. I'm not.
Right.
I don't have my ambulance. I you know, Jody's an EMT specialist. He doesn't have his ambulance. He doesn't have any advanced gear. And so there's nothing that we're going to do differently than a layperson will. Mm-hmm. And if I have this hard to open airway where every time I give an attempt to rescue breathe for them and it goes in the wrong place, it goes in the stomach, I don't need vomit coming back and then blowing into their lungs or aspirating in their lungs where it's going to cause damage because of the gastric acidity and things. So in those cases, I think that's why we're seeing a tilt towards compression only. It's not because minimizing this is at least better than trying to do the whole thing and it's screwing it all up. It's that it's actually offering as good or better resuscitative outcomes in 6 minutes or less after EMS is contacted. Yep. Now, if you know how to do rescue breaths and you can get a good airway open and the modified jaw thrust is still somewhat allowable, it's just that it's difficult to do as a single rescuer. It's hard to get your thumbs on the cheekbones and pull up on the mandible to get that up. And as far as C-spine stabilization and movement, the studies that are coming back from orthopods and things like that are saying, and neurologists are saying, it's displacing the C-spine as much as you would with any other kind of harsh movement. So you're not saving the neck that's unstable from a neck injury, like a diving injury or a car accident or a long fall, by doing the jaw thrust maneuver.
Right.
So for those people that are asking themselves, well, that's why we always do a modified jaw thrust, so that we can open up that hard to tilt back. Well, okay. But that's no guarantee either. Yeah. It's tough to do. This is an intubation candidate.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Or as we're talking about the Cobras now,
yep.
These rapid intubation solutions that are coming out where they're esophageal in nature.
Yep.
And, you know, for anybody that's in advanced life support, you know what we're talking about. But bad things happen to good people. Mm-hmm. This is a tough scenario. But if the air goes in the wrong place, as Jody said, compressions only will do a fantastic job of buying time for this person who's not. And we got to be careful. Mm-hmm. They're not dying. If they're not breathing and they don't have a pulse and they're unconscious, they are dead.
They're dead.
They're in a clinical death state, and all that they have to do to become permanent is wait.
Yep.
And it just graduates all by itself. So remember, we don't kill people with CPR. We buy dead people time so that we have potentially a heart muscle to work with and to reduce brain damage as best we can. So there you go. The cardiac arrest, air won't go in, it's going into the stomach. Training question of the week. Now, for the poll question. Last week, we said, should the big three automakers file Chapter 11 bankruptcy and then get the government-backed retirements? One of the other options was go broke and dissolve, get bailed out by the government, or I could care less. Well, 67% of our voters said, I think they should file bankruptcy. And then if need be, the government backs retirements. 33% said, I could care less. Isn't that interesting?
It is.
And the new poll question for today is, do you think online studies are as effective as traditional studies? Yes. No, or maybe.
Hmm.
So we'll see what people think.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to go to lunch and see if anybody stares me down.
And I'm going to scope out where the closest bathroom is.
And I'm going to walk next to you.
To see.
And watch people just automatically away from me.
Then you're his bodyguard.
Exactly. It's not going to happen because you're right there with me.
Oh, that's true. That's true. I'll have to walk like ahead of you and then watch as you come in the room.
Maybe I can just have you ride around with us all the time.
There you go.
Hey, Jody, we're going to get some custard at the day. You want to go in?
All right, let me get my leather jacket on.
Daddy, why does Uncle Jody always have to come with us?
I'll tell you someday, kid.
He doesn't have much of a life. And we just kind of keep him around, entertain him, feed him.
Well, you know, it's Easter. Hopefully people will have peace in their hearts. Mm-hmm. No more stare downs.
That's right. No more stare downs.
Good grief. I'm a nice guy.
Yeah.
Usually.
I'm shocked.
Yeah. That's weird. I don't get it. Well, from the I don't want to say the same thing again. From the heartbeat.
Ooh. From the teepee.
Ooh. From the...
I didn't mean toilet paper.
I was wondering there.
I was kind of thinking the Indian thing. But
oh, from the teepee. Yeah. From the peace pipe.
From the... Yes.
From the end of the peace pipe.
From the end of the peace pipe.
People are going to think we're going to do a marijuana study.
No.
Here.
Sit around.
Right. Oh, boy.
No. Well, okay, you know, sorry, that's a hot topic in the news, too.
Yeah, that's a hot one. All right.
Did you hear it?
Over 10,000 people already have
lined up. Yeah, in our state alone. Yeah. And guess what?
I went to high school with half of them.
Maybe. they don't prescribe the marijuana to you.
No.
They hand out
licenses.
Seeds. Yeah.
No, they don't.
Happy
yes, they do.
Growing.
Yeah.
They no, I okay, yep. Well, maybe okay.
Do this they is really?
Yeah, I mean, they'll because hand out Roy, the marijuana, no, but it's a license to grow your own.
Right, no, but no. What I understand, I could be wrong, but what I understood from reading this was the state will not give you anything at all. You have to get the seeds or the marijuana on your own.
Oh,
the state gives you nothing. And they only give you a license to possess it. So how are you getting it?
How are you going to get it? No, there's going to be distribution points.
There has to be. Yeah, there is in California.
But there isn't here yet. That's what I'm trying to say. I
think they're getting rid of it.
It's not been approved yet.
You know, it's kind of like the sunflower seeds we get in the little packet
that
come in.
Yeah.
They get a picture of the marijuana leaves on the front.
Yeah.
Mommy, can we grow these?
Well, I think that's a hot topic for another week.
Well, you know how
my neighbor, if on our new raised beds we're going to put in our... If they just leaped over his pool fence and he saw him growing.
You'll have marijuana growing in your garden. Nice. So from the penitentiary of Michigan.
We're talking about felonies earlier.
Oh, I'm Dan.
Hey, I got phone privileges.
I've got phone. Yeah, he spends his one call a week on us.
Dan will be calling in next week.
At the end of the sign up, he'll always go, can you pass the phone to my wife?
So I can say hi. No pun intended.
From the studios of iRescue Radio, I'm Roy.
I'm Jody.
I'm Dan.
And we'll see you next week.
If you have anything you would like to contribute to iRescue Radio, you can contact us toll free at 866-661-5701 or visit our website at irescueradio.com. The commentaries in this podcast may not reflect the views of iRescue Radio or any of its sponsors or subsidiaries. iRescue Radio will not be held liable for any damages resulting from the advice given in this podcast.